بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to a special episode. Today we're talking about mental health and the importance of ruqya. And again, please check out the descriptions and support this work and sponsor these videos, mashallah. We can teach people more about the deen and about how to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to solve their problems. So today we're talking about something interesting that I'm sure you've kind of come across. There's a dichotomy in our ummah today that was not there at the time of the Prophet ﷺ when it comes to dealing with a medical approach or medical, to administer medical help for those who are sick, be that they are having a mental sickness or physical sickness. You find sometimes through videos and people, even counselors, subhanAllah, you get this a lot with Muslim counselors. And I'm not trying to say anything wrong. Not all of them, of course, but you do get these things happening where a case comes to them and they say, you know what? I'm not qualified for this. You have to go to a professional, to a doctor. You have to go and see someone for mental health and you have to go see someone. You know, your symptoms are physical. I cannot help you. The person might come to them and say, look, Sheikh, I need ruqya. I think there's a problem of jinn, right? Usually people say, yeah, man, you know, the Muslims today, they blame everything on the shaitan and on the jinn. You hear this a lot. So sometimes some of our brothers, imams and so on, they kind of pull their hands back and say, look, I cannot help you because like, okay, this is your mental health issue. You got problems. You know, you really have to see a doctor. You have to see a psychiatrist. And especially you hear this in non-Muslim countries where people do not want to get involved. They kind of look, man, you got a problem. You need to go to the right people. I'm not the right person to help you. But Sheikh, I need ruqya. I think there's jinn. You guys always blame it on the jinn. Always blame the shaitan. To the point that it's become a joke. You hear it in lectures sometimes. You know, we tell people as soon as, right away they blame on the shaitan. So they have to go and see a doctor. Guy, go see a doctor. You got mental health problems. You're crazy. You gotta go and see someone. Okay, so I'll tell you what is the problem with that. All right, so we're sending our Muslim brothers and sisters. I'm not saying that there's no place for counselors and psychiatrists and all these things. These are needed. There are a lot of issues that we can discuss there. However, you have to understand, there's a culture that's accepted now that this is the go-to psychiatrist. The problem is a lot of people do not understand that even in psychology, there are schools of thought. There are schools of thought. They have, subhanAllah, they have like aqidah, and then they have like madahib. Astaghfirullah, I'm not trying to compare. But that's what they have these. So the school of thought that rules psychiatry and psychology today is none other than atheism. Okay? And materialism. You are a product of a bunch of chemicals, it's a material, and you function based on certain chemical balances. And when those balances are imbalanced, then we need to rebalance them by obviously giving medicine. Yes, is this totally to be disregarded? No, but it is just the first thing they jump to. They do not have any in general. Now there is a more humanistic school of thought that's coming through, existential and so on. However, cognitive school of thought. But in the end, when you look at the core of psychology and psychiatry, any kind of mental health practitioner that is licensed in the West in general, they will approach things from that school of thought. And it is governed by law. You can talk people like have sabr, may Allah help you and this and that, but you cannot fully take a approach to say that, you know, God can heal you or let's do this or let's do that. The spirit is very important. Now, however, there has been schools of thought within psychology, because at the beginning, remember, the definition of psychology is actually the study of the psyche, of the spirit. The psychology in its original definition was the attempt to try to understand the human soul, because there was a much greater connection and you could say, interest in the human soul back then. They're not so materialistic. But today with materialism, everything is technology. Everything is just material, physical. Most people are pushed into that type of understanding. So it is decided by government, is governed by laws, and then you get license and you can practice this way. So you can belong to the behavior school of thought, psychoanalytical, which is one of the oldest one, but it's still grasping most of the psychiatrists. And now in the Muslim world, because they're usually behind when it comes to catching up with these things, sadly, the psychoanalytical school of thought, the Sigmund Freud school of thought, is, you know, the one of the most prevalent. So yes, they are competing now. However, their main theology, and it is a deen, if you think about it. What is the definition of a deen? لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. It is a path, a way, an approach. So their deen is based on the spirit is not so important. We can fix this by chemical balances and imbalances, focusing on serotonin, SSRIs, update, inhibition or reuptake, and so on and so forth. So there is a lot of that. So antidepressants, right? If you look into it, do a bit of research how antidepressant works, it's basically that. Okay, if you understand how the neurons connect and how, you know, the information is passed through the neurons, and it's basically there's a connection between the two neurons, there's a synaptic cleft, and neurotransmitters, okay, either chemical or electrical, are communicating between the two, or transfer between the two. There's receptors on one side, and basically they carry information, and then gets pushed down the axon, and so on, and gets carried to the rest of the body. And that's how your body is basically interpreting and taking information from the central nervous system, which in return takes information from the sensory neurons, which take information from the environment. So any kind of trigger or stimuli will be translated, processed, and so on. And this is what causes, in many cases, fear, anxiety, all these things, okay? It's a complicated process, but quite understandable, inshallah, just to keep it very simple. So this is the way they approach. This is the way they approach treatment for a person who might have mental health issues, not feeling good, anxiety, depression, panic attacks, you name it. Problem is, you go to the, and I'm not generalizing again, may Allah bless our imams and our scholars, but you do see it happening more and more. And I'm making this because I see a lot more clients coming in and saying, look, like I've gone, and the imam tells me, look, you need to go and see a psychiatrist. You got a mental problem. Look, I cannot treat you, right? The only time that they'll think it's a jinn or, and what is a jinn, by the way? Let's go back to the definition. A jinn is a spirit. And it is, in many cases, a shaitan, right? So they basically say that only if you're going to like talk in weird voices and jump around and do weird stuff, oh, now it's a jinn, let's do ruqya on it, right? And you see these videos of the Rockies and screaming and exorcism. And they're taking this from kind of like the exorcism of Emil Rose or something like that, from the Catholics and the movies that have been around there. That's the only time we're going to do ruqya, when a person is possessed and starts flipping back or something and talking in languages. No, that is not how it is. But sad, so the people will say, look, I cannot help you. Go to the Mr. John down the street there. I can even refer you. Go to John, and John is going to look at you, not even touch you, many cases not even talk to you, because he's got about 15 clients the same day. And then he might basically, most likely, give you a prescription that you're going to have to take for God knows what. There's no even exit strategy. Right away, they say, look, we'll talk to you later. Come back, right? So they build their clientele. And that's the way it is. And law protects them, and that's the way you practice. If you come up with another system, you can get fined. You need to have certain qualifications. You go to a bachelor's, a master's, a PhD, clinical psychology, and you get into it, okay? And then you basically specialize, and you take your permission to be a psychiatrist and someone who can prescribe medicine. And then you have your practice. There's also, yes, counselors and therapists, and they work together. But you'll find that in many cases, these therapy approaches are not from an Islamic perspective. So we are basically now looking at Muslims. This is what Muslims have access to in the West. So our brothers are saying, go to John. John will take care of you. John says, okay, you got to take these pills twice a day. And this, you know, these many milligrams, go to the prescription pharmacy, get it. And you take it and then you feel like a vegetable. Yeah, yeah, alhamdulillah, the anxiety has gone down. Most people come to us and they're like, man, I feel like a vegetable. I feel better. Like I'm not having, you know, the anxiety, but it takes me 4 hours to get up, to move around, to start doing things and so on. And when I ask my doctor, hey, when am I going to get off this? Oh, well, we'll see. All right. And you know what most people do? They get so frustrated with the side effects, which sometimes include suicidal thoughts, that they get off the medicine. And that's the worst thing, right? They do a lot of times. That they just interrupt the medicine after they have taken it, that they take it back. They take it 2 days. They don't take another day. They feel good one day. They don't take it. They take another day. And they don't understand how these antidepressants work. They don't work like that. Actually, what you're doing is you're messing up with your nervous system. You're tricking it. And now it doesn't know what to do anymore. So now you don't react. You need to go back, get more higher doses and this and that. And it can lead to addiction, can lead to so many problems. As I said, again, disclaimer. Imagine, just me talking right now could get me in trouble with the law if I don't give these disclaimers. I'm not trying to say that there's no sometimes need for medicine. There is. I'm not saying, okay, everyone's going to go off medicine now because Brother Gabriel said that. No, there is. But you have to understand how it works. And you have to understand, first and foremost, as a Muslim, what you can do. Why are you feeling this way? Is it just chemical imbalances? Is it just hormonal issues? What is it? Well, actually, and even some psychologists agree, is this existential vacuum. The spirit is not well fed. And you're not able to make sense of the world around you, and the problems that you're faced with cannot. And that's why they say, like, psychosis and all these mental health issues. Some psychology scholars have said that it's like it's the way your brain is trying to make sense of the environment and the things that are happening to you. It's reacting to it, right? And a lot of them made the argument. They said, subhanAllah, I mean, they didn't say subhanAllah, but they said, if we are to look at and diagnose based on behavior, why are we targeting the chemicals, the chemical imbalances? Because you're looking at behavior and you're saying that the chemical imbalances are the fault. But many people argue against it. You have to understand, even with sex, people say, but there's research. Well, there's research against it as well. People take these things like they're wahi, revelation. It's from God. That's it. We have to believe it. Well, because there's a research, I saw a paper. If you know anything about research, you'll find that there's reviews, there's a criticism of many of the research. I don't think there's any research that is not criticized or there's sometimes opposing opinion on many different levels. But a lot of people just take it at face value and they say, well, it's research, science. It's like, subhanAllah, people think science is more than wahi, than revelation. So let us understand just for a little bit how a Muslim should do. Can you do ruqya for mental health, for physical health issues, psychosomatic, meaning your brain can affect the way your body feels because of mental health. Many, many problems and conditions can be fixed with Quran and with ruqya. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ We do not reveal anything from the Quran except that it is shifa. And that's exactly, people say, yeah, it's shifa, as in like it, you know, it just clears your heart. No, no. The Sahaba used to take these ayat and shifa as medicine. You have to understand. But you have to believe in it. They believed in it, and that's why it worked. It worked even on non-Muslims. All right? It worked even on non-Muslims, and we're going to see the evidence. But before I do that, you need to understand one thing, and one thing that is very important. And that is the issue of the shaitan, right? People come to you, I'm not feeling good, I think I need ruqya, I think shaitan is hurting me, is doing something. No, bro, you need to go to John. Wait a second. Shaitan actually can be at fault for any little health problem that you have. I'm not saying you don't have to take vitamin or aspirin or this or that. People do jump to those things very fast sometimes. I think maybe you need to slow down a bit and not the first thing headache you get right away, Panadol and so on. Maybe you need to make some ruqya on yourself. And ruqya was part of the Sahaba's daily thing. Ruqya, dua, and so on, Quran. But today, we don't really do it. وإذا مريت فهو يشفي. And when I get sick, he is the one who heals me. Okay? It was clear. They understood. The Quranic verses are very clear. If I get sick, Allah heals me. Well, Allah gave us the ability to invent this medicine and so on. If Allah doesn't want you, Panadol is not going to work. For many people, people take Panadol, it doesn't work. It does not work. But let us look at this very, very interesting hadith here of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is a hadith that is sahih, as graded by Sheikh Albani. But basically, it is where the Prophet was one of his wives, and he said, this is my wife, so and so. But then he says something amazing. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, basically says, إن الشيطان, indeed شيطان, يجري, he flows, okay, من ابن آدم مجرى الدم, he flows into his blood, okay, the شيطان flows through the son of Adam like blood flows. Interesting, why مجرى الدم? Why like blood? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن الشيطان يجري من ابن آدم مجرى الدم, like blood, like flows in him. Why blood? Why not something else? Well, blood is obviously part of the circulatory system, right? If you look at the circulatory system, so part of the circulatory system, okay? The circulatory system, the transport system of the body, is everything goes through blood. It's oxygen, you know, hormones. And here you have to understand, hormones, it is so important. Hormone transport, hormones influence mental health, hormones influence the way your body reacts. Hormones are signals that are sent to every single part of your body, and they're carried through blood. So imagine if shaitan flows through you. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan says in the explanation of this hadith, he says shaitan can enter you. And he will cause problems. And he has power. He says, لديه قدرة. He has power. He has ability to do things. How? Well, shaitan, you have to understand the first place, right? We're talking about jinn, right? The same jinn that you came to the imam or whatever, and the imam says, no. You just go to John. He is flowing through you. How? Well, bila kayf. We don't know, because it's from the unseen. We don't know how. Start understanding how. But we do know how hormones are flowing through our blood. So the shaitan is there and he can influence, Allahu A'lam, but the Prophet is specifically flowing like blood. Blood flows through everything. You feel sick, you feel pain here, you feel anxious, your heart, a lot of times people feel heart and chest palpitations, anxiety in the stomach, lower abdomen, in the thoracic cavity, they feel this pressure. Right, blood circulates there. The lungs are located there, which is heavily circulated by blood. The heart, of course, which is the pump and blood. And it pumps to the brain, it pumps down to the limbs, oxygenated, deoxygenated. It's a full, intricated, and very, complicated system. But it is related to blood. So if the shaitan flows through us like blood flows, imagine what it can do. Everything that hurts us, every small issue that we have, yes, there is a physical explanation for it, but do not outrule the ghaib, the unseen, the shaitan. Shaitan is your enemy. Shaitan adu lakum fattakhiduhu adu. He is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. He's not gonna take a break. He gets locked up only Ramadan, and even then the small shayateens are around. They don't take break. They're after you. What happens when you are physically hurt, or you feel sick, or you feel low, and you feel this? Anxiety, depression. SubhanAllah, your iman goes down. Your iman goes down. Why do most people feel anxious? They question iman. They want to commit suicide, some people. What does shaitan want from you? Kufr. If he cannot get kufr, he wants to get you at least to lose hope, which is kufr, and to commit suicide. And to and to get you to be in Jahannam. Right? SubhanAllah. So why do we rule out the possibility that shaitan is there flowing through us, as the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we can see here? Okay, and this is the hadith of, I think it is narrated by Anas. Okay, there's a sahih, authentic hadith. So let us understand. This is from Adab al-Mufrad. Let us understand that Shaitan is there. Shaitan is there and he flows. All right, another thing. Now let's look at shifa, ruqya. People say, no, you need to go to a doctor. Oh, but I have this thing, I have a problem, a cut. I'm not saying don't put something on it or don't. But while you do it, you can do ruqya. You can do ruqya on yourself. If you have a headache, you have some problem, you can do ruqya because ruqya can heal you. I want to look at in the Sahih Bukhari. This is narrated by Abu Sa'id, radiallahu an, volume 3, book 36, number 476. It says, some of the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they went on a journey till they reached some Arab tribes. They asked the Laria to treat them as their guests, but they refused. The chief of the tribe was bitten by a snake or stung by a scorpion. And they tried their best to cure him, but in no vain. Okay, they used whatever they knew of medical treatment. They couldn't do it. So some of them said to the others, nothing has benefited him. Would you go to these people who are resident here at night? It may be that some of them might possess something as a treatment. So they went, and a group of the companions, they said, our chief has been bitten by a snake, and we tried everything. You got anything useful? So one of them says, yes, by Allah, I can recite ruqya. He says, by Allah, I can recite ruqya. Quran. But as you refuse to accept us for guests, I will not recite ruqya for you unless you fix some wages. You pay me. Ah, look at that, subhanAllah. So they agreed to pay him a flock of sheep. Do you understand what a flock of sheep means? A flock of sheep. So the Sahaba went. Okay, so he recited what? One of them went and recited Suratul Fatiha. Allahu Akbar. Ummul Kitab. Allahu Akbar. Look at the iman of the Sahaba. They learned from who? From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he recited and he puffed and puffed over the chief who became all right as he had just like released from a chain and got up and started walking, showing no signs of sickness. Showing no signs of sickness. But remember the Sahaba, he had iman. He knew that this would work. Some people say, oh, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But they don't believe in it. So it doesn't work. These people had iman. They believed. So they paid them as they agreed to pay. So some of them suggested to divide the earnings among themselves. But the one who performed and recited said, do not divide him till we go to the Prophet ﷺ and narrate the whole story to him and wait for his order. So they went to the Prophet ﷺ and told him the story. Ya Rasulullah, we did this and we took money for it. So the Prophet asked, how did you come to know Surah Al-Fatiha was recited as ruqya? Right? Then he said, you have done right. Divide what you've earned. And look what he said. And assign from me a share as well. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet then smiled. SubhanAllah. The Prophet then smiled. The Prophet said, you've done well. How'd you know that Al-Fatiha is ruqya? Because we heard you, Rasulullah. We read behind you Quran. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet said, good. Divide it. And inshallah, give me some as well. Okay, this is in Hadith Bukhari. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless. So look at that. This is how people of iman approach. Why our counselors, our psychologists, our Muslims are insisting on following ways that are against, not necessarily, sorry, let me take that back, that are not necessarily wahi. Many of them against the Quran Sunnah, no doubt, because they're based on atheism, materialism, always about the material, never about the spirit, never about God. You know, it's always like material-centric. It's always material-centric, never God-centric, revelation-centric. See, that's the difference between us and them. That's the difference between them and us. They believed in the Quran. They lived by the Quran. They died for the Quran. They treated themselves with the Quran. Everything was the Quran. Now, I'm not saying, because a lot of people, but funny enough, maybe in your mind you say, man, this is silly. Why are you telling us not to go to a doctor now? Well, I'm not saying necessarily don't go to a doctor, because we see from the Muslims, there's, you know, like for example, there's a Tibb al-Nabawi, there's medicine of the Prophet. So the Prophet didn't just say, just recite the ruqya. But we see that ruqya is one of the main ways to treat and treatment, but you have to believe. And don't forget, the shaitan is running through your bloodstream. hormones are being transported to your bloodstream, so many chemicals, so many things that influence the way your body acts, the way it reacts. So many signals are being sent from the brain to every part of the body. And that's what you see is only the outcome of those things, how you feel, your mental health, and so on, only the outcomes of those things. So keep in mind these two things. Shaitan does run through your blood. Do not rule out that. This is from the unseen. And do not rush to go to the non-Muslim way, the materialistic way, the secular, non-wahi, based on signs that's ever-changing and always debated, as opposed to وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Right? This is what it is. It is a rahma and a shifa, but for who? للمؤمنين. For those who truly believe in it. Not someone, yeah, I'll just do ruqya, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nothing. Oh, I didn't go, okay, let me go and pop some pills. No, you have to believe it, man. You got to believe it in your heart. So don't rush to John, but stay with Muhammad, inshallah, and make some ruqya. And for my dear imams and scholars, may Allah bless you, don't push your clients or your people, your brothers and sisters away. Make ruqya for them with full iman and conviction that this can heal them. And at the same time, get the medicine, get the help of the doctor, but do not always rush. And if we remember, if we ever think, if the last thing we're about to die, okay, let me read some Quran now. Or only when they jump up and down and do flips and talk in different languages, okay, I think now there's a jinn problem. Remember, the jinn in the end is what? Shaitan. Okay, the one especially that is evil and is afflicting you is shaitan. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, is the shaitan. Na shaitana, indeed the shaitan. Yajri, he flows, okay, in the blood of the son of Adam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, to help us understand. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.